Hi friends, we'll be covering this qualitative and quantitative research technique as a chapter overall under the subject of marketing research. Let's understand what is this two technique is all about. There are types of research, as they say, the techniques that has been applied during any marketing research. One is a qualitative and second is a quantitative research. First, understand what is quantitative. Quantitative deals with numbers. They are hardcore facts driven. There's a logic there. True, false, yes, no, kind of, and all this thing is a set of logic which is applied and the result is derived or the inference is derived. That is known as a qualitative, quantitative research. As against this, the qualitative research deals with human inner part, yani. Therefore, the human express themselves by way of words, by way of their likes, dislikes for images. So, it's like more or less subjective in nature. So, primarily quantitative, please remember, as the name suggests, hardcore numbers and facts. Qualitative with lot of subjective aspects that it deals in. Yani. The quantitative research method, yani, what is emphasizes on the measurement. Measurement in terms of deriving a statistical answer, while in the qualitative research, there is a overall observation laid. Yani. There is an understanding of a people's behavior by certain other methods within the domain of qualitative methods, qualitative techniques, that you try to derive an understanding about human behavior. So friends, let's understand quantitative research as a technique. Quantitative research, as the name suggested, I'll once again request you to re-emphasize or recall, it's a number driven methodology or the technique. Here the data required in the quantitative research is obtained through various surveys, various methods. I will say the way you collect data, these data can be collected in various ways. We are going to cover some of the survey methods, so I am not going to like kind of really explain this. There is either you have a questionnaire, you have a list of points, etc. And that's how you kind of obtain your data. As against this, in the survey, so let's understand, under the quantitative method, one aspect is the survey, which is a type of methods that has been used to collect the data. It's a data collection method overall under quantitative research as a technique. Now, in this survey method, survey, when you say this, it's a meeting of a people where they discuss various aspects, and these aspects covers large geographical area, different types of sampling units, etc. So the name is survey. The core advantage of this basically is that you are able to investigate, you are able to probe, you are able to get face-to-face interaction in most cases, or in most of the method. As we go on and study more methods, there are certain methods where the face-to-face is not there. So now let's understand the four popular methods that the quantitative marketing research technique uses. Yeah. So there are these four methods, which is personal interviews, telephonic interviews, you have survey, again as a survey, which I was earlier referring to, is the overall methods. And here the survey is a approach that is there, which is again you can have either mail or internet or phone based survey done. Face to face survey also is possible, which is covered under the personal interview category. Then comes the retail audit. So we are going to understand some of these aspects now. I will try and emphasize on what is really needed by you in terms of understanding. So survey is a method, and what are the critical aspects? So this, when I say survey, is one of the methods under quantitative research technique. It is not one of the methodology to collect the data. I am referring to, friends, going back, I am referring to survey on the top that has been written, not the survey is a approach that has been written in the one of the four this thing. So let's understand what is this survey. So what are the distinct advantage of doing a survey? You have an instant response possible. You meet a ideal sample. Your sample unit is in front of you. You meet, you get the your required questionnaire answered. Doubts, queries that the person may have, or you may get a doubt about what is he trying to answer, you immediately get things clarified. Therefore, the answer qualities are better when it comes to survey. Then you have a product concepts or whatever that you need to explain. There are certain times certain thing needs to be explained, or you need to provide a stimuli to the respondent so that he understands better. So all this is possible in a face-to-face or a survey method. Interview flow, interview place, etc., all can be pre-decided. In some of the things it is possible, some of the method that we will study ahead, it is possible. So these are some of the distinct advantage of survey as a method. What I'm trying to now give you an idea about is to what is personal interview. So is one of the methods of collecting a data. In personal interview, you call for meeting a person, there is a request raised, you meet the person face to face, you provide a questionnaire to him, you try and get him to answer. So the way it gets executed, there may be many ways, like the respondent may just refer to question and give you an answer and you are supposed to write it down. You may request respondent to, you know, pull out, pull the bias out. And you may have to respondent, sir, it is better to write yourself so that your, you know, your thoughts, your this thing, you are able to only reproduce better. If I write, probably I may have my bias and I may write differently. So these are some of the ways surveys generally conducted. The time, place, etc. is also decided. If it's a personal survey, maybe it can be done anywhere. If it is an office survey, it has to be in a formal environment. So that is what is a personal interview is all about. Going forward, again, there are different types of personal interviews, which is what I am going to cover and explain you one by one. Face-to-face interview, the name itself is self-explanatory. Shopping center interviews or a self-administered interviews, you have purchase intercepts and you have an omnibus survey. So we are going to cover all of them one by one. So before we study this particular types of qualitative research techniques, I would like to spend a little time on earlier types of personal interviews that has been covered. Face to face is like you meet a person in person, the place, time, date, etc. is decided, formal, informal environment, depending on the nature of survey, that the product for which it has been done, etc. And here the interaction is possible. As I have said earlier, the cues are possible to be shared. The clarification can be sought, etc. So that's the face-to-face interview, as they say. It has its own advantages, which we have described. The limitation could be difficult to get individuals. They may give time which is outside your survey time limit, etc. So those are some of the disadvantages of face-to-face. You have a shopping center interviews, as they say, that individuals who reside in home are also same as what they are at the shopping center, but you have a probability of getting large numbers at one particular place. Therefore, this is also one approach where shopping center interviews, where the your sample unit is traced, found out at the shopping center, either when they enter the shopping mall or they are exiting the shopping mall, and then in a proper environment to try and conduct the interview. Most of the advantages as mentioned are true for the face-to-face, and same is the probability of disadvantages, like the environment may not be right. The person gets cued by who's observing him, where is he, whether the right place is there for him to answer, etc. Self-administered interviews is again, as I have told you, like earlier, where you are provided with the questionnaire. There is nobody to actually talk to you. It is like all the question and answer and as much as this thing open-ended or close-ended, etc. are there in a pre-printed questionnaire. It has been provided to you, or it is lying, or it is received by you. So when in a hotel, generally when you enter a hotel, on a table there is always a questionnaire which says a request that you kindly fill it up when you are checking out and submit at the counter. So those are some of those self-administered kind of a questionnaire. Then that is a method. Purchase intercepts are like when a buyer is buying a goods and he is leaving the premise, you try and intercept him. You are sure that this is a product that he has purchased for which you were looking at him as one of the sample unit, and you are trying to then question him as to what all he liked, what all he disliked, why did he go about, what did he not considered while buying, what did he consider while buying, etc. So these are some of the purchase intercept approach, the methods in which survey can be conducted. And here omnibus survey. So the last is the omnibus survey, in which you try to do a survey wherein you are trying to connect with the respondent in a very a formal environment, you are trying to like kind of approach him in a manner that is he may not be really fully aware whether this is like a, you know, a full-fledged interview or whether this is like a full-fledged survey, etc. You still try and get answer to the questions that you are looking for. So friends, we have covered under the quantitative research technique one of the survey method, which is a personal interview method, and there are types of personal interview methods as I have covered earlier and I have briefed you. Then comes the qualitative research techniques. So we have finished what is quantitative research techniques. Now we come to what is known as a qualitative research technique. So qualitative research technique, as I have earlier said, is a subjective technique, and where you have to understand when you observe certain things, when you see certain things, when you try to derive as behavioral aspects are narrated or, you know, conjunction is made out of that, etc. So that's what is the qualitative research is all about. Here, intent is to understand the behavioral aspect of the respondent, and therefore the much of the time that is spent on designing the qualitative research. So let's understand, the qualitative research is conducted using two major techniques, as they say, which is based on questioning and based on observations. So can a questioning be possible in the qualitative research? Yes, as this this is one of the technique, and second is the most of them are based on the observations of an individual in a scenario. So we will understand as we go forward. So what is based on questioning means, here the distinctive feature of this research technique is that it's a professional people are involved and they are into the area. They go and conduct this particular technique, which is a very specialized experience is needed to be able to conduct this kind of qualitative research. And they have a specialization to articulate the required answer from the consumers, etc., from the respondent, and then make a meaning out of it. So there are distinctly three methods to this, which is on questioning. There are three methods: depth interviews, then you have focus group discussions, and you have projective techniques. So we will try and study them one by one. So what is depth interview? As they say, the depth interview, it's like the name itself suggests, it's an in-depth interview. Here you want to understand more and more about what is there in the minds of your respondents. Yes, you want to understand this in a very little structured manner. Therefore, instead of questionnaire, certain checkpoints are made, or as we say, checklists are made, and respondents are made to answer those points. And they are just put before them certain points or certain queries. They are supposed to give their independent views on that. So this is what is captured in what you call a depth interviews. So majority of like business interviews are generally a depth interviews, where you want to understand various aspects of decision making, etc. So depth interviews are generally not the one which is in the consumer side. Consumers are not used to give you, or it may not give you the really unbiased opinion, etc. But more or less on the business side, depth interview is a very successful technique that has been used. Then you have depth interviews are like again a discovery of a hidden motive. Why do you do this? So the advantage is like you discover hidden motives. What is really behind his answering this aspect? Development of motivation pattern. What will really motivate him? What is actually motivating him? So when the series of checkpoints are answered, the interviewer, being a professional, is able to determine what are the motives and what are the motivational pattern that really kicks him, for action. Clinical insights, you also get certain fact finding, you also get certain basic clinical insight. And as you say that the root cause has to be understood, that's the clinical this thing, you get those things answered. Depth interviews are following disadvantage means it has a certain disadvantage is like it's prone to bias. If the respondent decides like, I want to really take them for a ride, or rather I want to really not answer, and then during his explanations and all, he will not reveal what is he actually doing, what is he actually meaning, etc. It cannot be generalized. So fundamentally what one describes, it is an independent of him. You really cannot generalize. Therefore, in the qualitative research, you have to be careful in selecting your sample unit, number, size of samples, etc. And therefore, overall, these answers which are in terms of qualitative nature, which are not very clear, very difficult to quantify them. That's the disadvantage of a depth interview. We come to focus group discussion. Generally, if I had to give you an idea, a room or a place where setup is done, proper lighting, the video cameras, the audio capture mechanism, the like-minded sample unit people are invited, they are placed there. There is a person called moderator. Moderator initiates the discussion and then the discussion continues. Here, respondents or the people are not given what you call a questionnaire or something, checklist or things like that. But it's the moderator which opens the discussion, probes certain aspects, guides the discussion towards the goal that he has in mind to unreveal, to make people talk on those points or the subject. This is when captured and then analyzed by the person, again specialized in understanding the human conversation, their behavioral body language and all are also seen, because I might be talking something but my body language may say something, etc. So based on this, then the analysis is derived. So that's a focus group discussion. Again, there are types of focus group discussions. There are exploratory focus group, there are clinical focus group, and there are experimenting focus groups. So when I say that, let's understand probably one by one briefly. So exploratory focus groups are the, it's like you want to arrive at certain conclusiveness, you want to arrive at certain clarity, you want to probably not take a decision, but you want confirmations, etc. And in such scenario, what you really conduct is the exploratory focus groups. You probably may not have a very formal setup, you probably may not have so much of a mechanization which is video capturing and all, but it's conducted in a manner that you are able to get a perspective of what you were trying to really understand. So here again the problem, like for example, you are not able to define your marketing research problem, then you can again do a what you call a exploratory focus group discussion, etc. So those are the areas or hypothesis setting and all. This kind of exploratory research, this thing helps. Then comes the clinical, it involves the really qualitative research in its most scientific manner. So this is what, as I say, clinical. It's like there is a way to conduct a focus group, you have to conduct in that particular manner. So you have your defined problem first, you have defined what could be the psychological or behavioral or other aspects that you want to unreveal during a focus group. So that entire checklist is there in the minds of a moderator or with him, as you say, and then he conducts in a very scientific manner, video recorded, then it is analyzed, etc. Experience focus groups are, this is allows the researcher to experience certain emotional frameworks and certain things he specifically wants to understand, something which you probably cannot do it in the clinical or exploratory, this thing. Here he will get into creating an experience and then make people talk about it. So that's the experience focus group, as they say. So, what are the advantages of this focus groups, as you say? There are a couple of advantages, like it's a fast, you can do it quickly because not difficult to identify the sample units. Okay, the willing people to come and sit with you could be one query, but again, it is open to invite anybody who's of a particular sample unit types. So, that's why that's one thing. A specific area, not much to do as such. So it's a very reasonable this thing. There is no other cost kind of involved. Generating hypothesis or setting your research problems right, etc., are the areas where this can kind of a thing really helps. They are flexible. You can do the way you want to conduct. There are certain flexibilities which this particular methods operate and provides you. Widens the basis of discussions. Here the, it's a smartness of the moderator. He can really stretch the discussion to a right direction and he can even widen it. Though it may not be earlier visualized, but he really saw an opportunity that this understanding is needed and therefore he is able to really widen the subject of a discussion and dig out what is in the minds of the respondents, etc. Easy to understand. It's like there is a conversation happening. Yes, the psychologists or the behaviorologists who look at your videos or listen to you, etc., try to do certain additional this thing based on their specialization as such, but it's overall very easy to understand. And then comes the projective techniques, as they say. The projective techniques, as I have said, is like respondents in certain time, it is believed, are not very eager, are not very open to really give certain perspective. Yeah. Now, in such case also, the researchers want them to reveal things. Yeah. So, what has been now devised as a technique called is a projective technique, where certain stimuli is constructed and presented to the respondent, and he's been asked to kind of give his answer, opinion, views on that, etc. What has been fundamental to this is like this will come from what is within him. So, this is what is the way and what kind of stimuli. So, there can be many types of stimuli that you can give. So, that is what we will try to understand what kind of stimuli that could be. One such is the word association. So, you ask respondent that I will spell out one word. You have to give me the word which comes to your mind first, etc. Now, that itself reveals a lot of things. And by behaviorologists, psychologists can really make conjunction out of it and give you certain understanding about what is in the minds of the respondents. And sentence completion test. Here, particular incomplete statement is presented to the respondent and he's been asked to complete this. Now, what I earlier told you that this comes out from what is within the consumer. Though he thinks that he is secured because he is not answering about himself, he is just completing a statement. But as they say, okay, this is a statement, the reflection of what is within him. Thematic appreciation test, as they say, TET, this is another technique which has been generally used. This technique, it's like you create a theme, you create a storyboard, you create like you make him visualize, you create a situation or a kind of a scenario wherein this person is put in and then he has to give his views on that. The simple part is the story completion. You instead of making things like thematic appreciation or this thing, etc., you create a story. So, even many times a pictorial story board is created and then respondent is asked to say, okay, bhai, if this is where you are left, how the story will get unfold and how what will be the end of it, etc. So, this kind of approach, a respondent will open out, he will say what is within him. As I continue to say, what is within him are the manner in which he will complete any of this. Yeah, word association or statement completion or sentence completion or a thematic appreciation approach, etc. Cartoons is the last but a very effective approach where there is no personal bias. Yeah, the person will move away and he will look at cartoon as a subject and then he will give his what is again within him, but as if, you know, he is now fearless to express himself because some dummy character that he's been talking about. So, that's the way that the projective techniques can work. These are the five options of it that we have studied. So, continue to understand what is qualitative research technique is all about. We have come to a stage where observation-based qualitative research technique we are going to study. Earlier one are the question based, now we have observation based qualitative research technique to be studied. Here it's the observation of a people that takes place. And observation can be in a set environment, can be in a natural environment, etc. So as we move forward, you will get more idea about what I am trying to talk about. Here the bias is kind of removed, but however conditioning is possible. There are certain stimuli you plant, certain things you withdraw and you still try and see the behavior of your respondents and then you try to make a meaning out of overall activity when you complete. So, friends, like based on the qualitative research techniques, which is based on observations, you have three approaches which is there. Ethnography, grounded theory and participant's observations. So, we will take them one by one. So, what is ethnography? Ethnographic research is like known as, it uses a naturalistic observations. It is a naturalistic observation to record everything systematically. The behavior that is happening by the research subject in a research environment. So, it's a natural observation which is known as a ethnography. Observing the customer where he buys from, in very simple term. This is the origin is in anthropology, as they say. The focus is on a cultural aspects of the behavior. Here you are not really trying to understand the marketing or the marketing promotion based issues of 4 P's and how it is, you know, impacting the consumer decision, etc. But it is like you are trying to understand other influences. So that is what is your core reason why which you do observation research. Then this kind of ethnography research is a useful tools. And the strength of this tool lies in, you know, the sources of errors associated with a more artificial way of doing things are minimal. Here, because everything that has been done is a natural environment without any stimuli being manipulated. The technique 2 and 3 are the grounded theory, and then you have a participant observation theory. In the grounded theory, it begins with the research situation. You create a research situation. Within the situation, the task the researcher has is to understand. He has created a situation, now he becomes an observer here. He allows within this created situation things to happen in a very normal way. This normal way are then concluded. He like converts this into observations. But when this is happening, he is not really observing, he is listening also. And at times he is also interviewing a person. He wants to understand certain things. Why has he done it like that? So he has a freedom to ask it. Many times the person himself becomes the very active in understanding various issues. So that's the grounded theory, where a research situation is created and then you allow the natural things to happen. While that is happening, the observer is either observing, listening to the conversation, or actively seeking clarifications. In participant observations theory, slight modification of the earlier one. Here, it's a researcher's ability to become a conversation, to become a part of the exercise. So he takes the stage, which is, he may be your salesman, or he may be the guy who's trying to demonstrate you the product. He may be the one who's trying to argue with you to why you should buy this and why you should not buy this, etc. So this is what like overall research environment is created. But instead of being a third party, he becomes a active participant in this entire activity. And based on what he then, after the conversation, after the incidence is over, he tries to then recall, he tries to even understand your body language. He will try to get into the various nitty-gritty of it to derive a meaningful conclusion out of that interaction of the observation that has been done by him. And from that, he will try and conclude how things are, what are the motivators, what are the demotivators, what are the likes, dislikes that you have towards certain aspects of the whole buying process. And based on that, he tries to conclude certain aspects relevant to your research problem or research objective. So what we have understood is a qualitative and a quantitative research techniques, and under each there are different types of methods and their options that they are. And we have tried to derive overall understanding of the two core techniques of marketing research, qualitative and quantitative research techniques. Thank you, friends.